people as they're walking through. And yes, I hope that they do for the love of Jesus and how awesome that is. But I want to encourage you as a Victory body of what you're releasing into yourselves and into your own children. Last night wasn't about my kids getting to feel the love of Jesus. They get to feel the love of Jesus every single day in their house. So for them, it wasn't about that. For them, it was about them seeing the importance of a church body. To them, it was me showing them, hey, guess what? When your life gets hard, when there are things that need to get done, you know who you can call on? Your church family. It wasn't about me saying Jesus loves you to them, because they already know that, because they're raised in it every single day. So for them and for all of your kids, what they were seeing wasn't just the love of Jesus. It was the importance and the value of your church family. And the importance and value of the community within us. So for me and my family, yes, it was wonderful to minister to the 600. I think that was probably the biggest crowd that we've ever had, and it was amazing. But what impacted me the most was saying, hey, here's my life group kids. Then they know who our life group is. Look what we pulled together for you guys because we love you. And so it was me imparting into them the importance of coming together and saying, your church family is important. It is essential in your life that you place value on them and the value of being together with them and working together so that when your life blows up, you don't have to go out to the bars. You don't have to go out and find all these worldly friends. The first people you can call are your church family and say, hey, I'm struggling with this. I need you to pray with me and lift me up and be there. Have my back. Hold my arms up when I'm ready to go to battle and fight with me. So last night, that's what it was about for my family. And I just wanted to encourage you in that. Because I know sometimes when kids are coming through, you're like, great, here's a candy bar. I probably won't see you again till ever, maybe, or maybe the next year. But it's not just about them. It's about us and teaching our kids the value of this. I also, when I was praying about everything, I just felt the Lord really say that it was you know, Dad was talking about how he felt a shift, and I agree, I felt it. And sometimes I struggle when I feel things in the spirit of letting God put words in of what it was that I felt going on. But I felt that it was that spark of creativity coming back. Because this didn't happen because this is what we've always done. This happened because, I don't know, 8, 9, how many years have we done it? However many years ago, Chris Bridges and a bunch of guys got together and said, hey, let's do something different. Let's be creative. And so I felt God releasing that into us again as a body to let that creativity, that vision begin to flow again of how can we do things differently. I know all the other churches do amazing, awesome events. I'm not knocking their events, but when people come through ours, all they can talk about is how different and unique and amazing it is. And they get to feel Jesus when they're doing that, but it's because it's something different. And so I just want to pray over you guys that we would begin to have that creativity again, that it would begin to flow. Because this didn't just happen because we thought, oh, it's a good idea. It's because God spoke to a group of people and said, let's get creative and do something different. Because we used to do the trunk or treat where we just lined up our cars and did the trunks. And that was great. But then God gave a vision to someone and said, let's do something different. I just want you all, we're all just going to stand and raise our hands together. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for the shift that we feel in this church body. We just declare and we accept the creativity and the vision that you're going to begin to download into our hearts and into our minds. God, help us to begin to create space so that you can speak to us. And when you speak to us, we're able to follow through with those plans. Help us learn to say no to things so that we can say yes to you. Because we know when you give us vision, it requires time and it requires work. And we declare that we will be a people who are willing to say no to less important things so that we can say yes to you and the vision you're giving us and the dreams that you're giving us. So today we say yes, God. Speak to our hearts again. We know that you are a creative God. Creativity is who you are, and we accept that as we are being made in your image, that you're going to begin to make us creative again, that we're going to have visions again and dreams again of how to do things differently, how to minister to the world differently, because what we've done in the past isn't working. Help us not to be stuck in our rut of this is how we do it, and this is Victory Fellowship, and it's who we are, but help us be willing to tackle new jobs, to tackle new ideas, And it might be a lot of work, and it might be a lot of sweat, but we're willing to say yes to that, God, to advance your kingdom, to see more souls brought in for your glory. We just receive that today, God. Amen.
Amen, amen. Y'all find your seat. Now we release the rest of our kids to children, so they all left their teachers at. Bless them, Lord. Thank you, Eric. Very timely on the word that the Lord gave me for this morning. Let's turn in our Bibles. Let's go to Acts 2. I've got four different scriptures. I'm not going to expositorily teach it. We'll come in and we'll hammer it some more on Wednesday night. But let's just turn to Acts 2. And I want to kind of take where I was Wednesday night and take it to the next step, the next level. Wednesday night I began to teach on finding or discovering the uniqueness in you. Discovering the uniqueness in you. I feel like one thing that happens in this Christian journey with so many people is they come in and because of their old Adamic nature, their failures, their flaws, their sins, all of this stuff, that when they come in and they get saved and they accept Jesus into their life, they want to abandon who they are and become somebody that the church tells them that they need to be. Now, the Word does say if any man's found in Christ Jesus, he's a new creature, old things are passed away, all things become new. But not at the expense of abandoning our uniqueness. And so I want us to come in, and I think one of the pillars of our identity in Christ, if I could say there's one thing that this church has always been about, is us discovering our identity in Christ. Because until we know who we are in Christ, we're not going to be able to, we don't have anything to say to the world. We don't have anything to say to the world. All we can do is mimic what other people are saying. But when we begin to understand who we are, then we begin to have something to say that is significant. But I think one of the pillars in understanding who we are in Christ is discovering the uniqueness in us. And what I've seen time and time and time and time again is people come in and they abandon their uniqueness because they feel like they have to conform themselves to whatever church model that they are currently involved in. If I'm Pentecostal, then I've got to become this Pentecostal person. And they abandon who they really are. And so we came in Wednesday night and we began to talk about uncovering the unique you or becoming ourselves. The Lord had us in two different portions of Scripture. We were in Psalm 139 and in Psalm 139, the Lord speaking through David tells us that we are uniquely and wonderfully made. And that He knew us in our imperfections, and He created us in that way. I'm not talking about with the sin nature. I'm just talking about with my different limitations and stuff like that. And we've got to learn to flow, and I'm not trying to put a lid on you, but we've got to learn to flow in who we are and be very comfortable in who we are. You know, I hear Eric Johnson's always talking about us finding our lane and staying in our lane. And God will broaden our lane, and sometimes our lane will turn into the Autobahn to where we, you know, there's no speed limit. And thank God for that. But we try to become and emulate all of these other people that we look up to. I look at my heroes and my contemporary heroes of the faith, and I can try to emulate them, but the truth is I'm not them. And I'll be honest with you, I wouldn't trade places or trade lives with any of them. I wouldn't. At this point where I'm in my life, there's not a person on the planet I would trade my life with and say, oh man, I wish I was like Papa B. You know, he is, dude. Spiritual father. But I would not exchange my life for his because he is unique in his way and I'm unique in my way. And I want us to begin to tap into and learn to recognize and learn to celebrate the uniqueness that we are. And find out that his good pleasure is being lavished upon us. That was a word the Lord kept giving to me when I was up on the stage. is that I am lavishing my good pleasure on you right now. And it's not that that in hopes of someday Nick will become Saint Nick, but it's I'm lavishing my love on Nick White. And I love him. And I see glory in him. I see greatness in him. I see all of these things in him. And so I'm going to lavish my... it's easy to see the dirt and all of that stuff too. But it's still, at the end of the day, I'm lavishing my good pleasure on him because he's uniquely and wonderfully created in my image. And so it tells us that in 139. And then the Lord carried us to Matthew 13 and the parable of Jesus. And in the parable of Jesus that he's speaking about the sower of the seed, he's coming in and he's talking about different types of ground. And y'all are all familiar with the parable, I'm sure. He comes in and he says, a sower went out to sow seed, and some of the seed fell on the byway, and the crows immediately snatched it up. Some of it fell into rocky, shallow soil, and it could not endure the heat or the drought and all of that. Y'all know the story. Some of it was choked out by weeds, which represent the cares of the world and all that. And then some of it was good ground, and it yielded 30, 60, and 100 fold. So we look at that parable and we love it, and the bottom line with that is be good ground. But the Lord spoke to me something different as we were driving through South Georgia Sunday afternoon. We were coming back from working the bike rally, and Lori and I, we always like to take the long and winding road. I despise I-75 and stuff like that. And so we try to stay away from that as much as possible. So we always go through, we detour on down and go on down hit 19 and go up through, Thomasville and Camilla and all these cool little, farming communities and all that stuff. And we come in the back way home. And so we were driving through all that the other day, and the Lord said, and we're going through all of these cotton fields. I love this time of year because it's quail season, but I love this time of year because the cotton is its harvest time for the cotton. The peanuts are in the process of being harvested or have been harvested, and they're baling the peanut hay out there. And the pecans are about to come in. And so I'm going through this time of year, and it's always harvest season. But the Lord said, what do you see? And I said, I see cotton fields, I see peanut fields, and I see pecan orchards. He said, why do you see all that? And I said, because it's South Georgia, and that's the type of soil that grows this stuff good down here, and that's what everybody grows. He said, exactly. He said, if you go to Blue Ridge, what will you find? Y'all were in Blue Ridge a few weeks ago. What's happening up there right now? Apples, 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 apples. I bet when y'all were up there the other day, y'all did not see any cotton fields, did you? I bet you didn't see any, I know you didn't see any peanut fields. You might have saw a rare patch of cotton. No, you didn't see any peanut fields. You didn't see any pecan orchards. You know why? Because it's the wrong soil type. Just like I didn't see any apple orchards in Thomasville. And my point on that and what God was speaking to me on this, on becoming the unique you, is that you're a certain soil type. In you, things will flourish. But the things that He designated and designed for you are the things that will flourish. It is impossible for me to flourish when I'm trying to be somebody else. It is impossible for me to be good soil when I'm trying to be somebody else's soul. And so the Lord carried me on a spin on this Matthew 13. And He said, I want you to understand your soul type and be comfortable in that, celebrate that, and flourish in that. Not that there won't be additives to that soul to enhance its growing capabilities. But at the end of the day, is you are unique in your type, and I want to grow specific things in you. And we all want to flourish. He comes in and He says, I promise to give you life, but not just life, but life more abundantly. And that doesn't mean you're going to get saved and go to heaven one day. One of my favorite songs is the song that we sing, Here Is in Heaven. Because I love that scripture. I love that's my heart's prayer. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And so I want to flourish in this life and in this journey because I'm the soil type. You used to live in Wisconsin for a season, worked up in Wisconsin. Blackest soil I've ever seen in my life. Blew my mind first time we went up there. I didn't think they grew anything but Yankees up there. And I went up there and it was just like, oh my gosh. It's like knee-deep black soil. I mean, the farmer in me just started leaping. It's like, oh my gosh, I could grow all kind of stuff in this. You know. Problem is, I can't grow alfalfa in Harrison County. Because it's too hot. But they can grow it up there. Because they've got the soil type and they've got the climate. And so I want us to come in and embrace the uniqueness that God created in us. He wants, not me, He wants us to embrace the uniqueness that God created in us, to celebrate it, not just to tolerate it. Quit tolerating it. Quit tolerating who you are. Get the word says, let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus. And get out of your mind that I'm just a sinner saved by grace and I'm just going to barely get by until one day that trumpet sounds and I'm going to get called up into heaven. Heaven is going to be glorious, guys, but I'm digging right here, right now. Isaiah 61, Isaiah 62. Read it, embrace it, let it be your word for your life. That's where God wants us to be. But we have to uncover, discover the uniqueness of us and just and begin to celebrate it and stop tolerating it. The reason we tolerate it is because the world tells us it's not good enough. The reason we tolerate it because the world sees it's an, says it's an unfinished product. The church says it's an unfinished product. Here's the thing about it, man. We've got a farm and if you come out to my farm, there are parts of my farm you'll look at and you'll be like, wow, man, that's sharp. That's nice. And then there are parts of it that are undeveloped. There's about 30-something acres that are still undeveloped. When you see that, you know what you're going to see? Undeveloped land. You know what I see when I see that 30-something acres? I see rolling hills with green pasture that are full of beef cattle and horses and white-tailed deer. That's what I see. In my mind's eye, that's what I see. You see it as undeveloped. But as the owner, I see it as glorious. And through persistence and hard work and money, that will come to pass. And here's what you have to realize when God looks at you, Cindy Hardy, He doesn't see undeveloped land. As the owner, He looks at you and He sees glory. As He looks at you, He sees power. As He looks at you, He sees as in heaven. That's what He sees. And so you got to quit believing the world's lie that you're undeveloped, unfinished, a wreck, a mess. I'm just a hot mess in my life and all that. God said, that ain't what I see. That's not what I see. I see glory. I see a bride that my son died for. I see a bride that I deemed a pearl of great price so much that I would sin. I would bankrupt heaven to purchase her. And when we begin to see that and understand that and grasp that, then we can begin to celebrate who we are. I'm not saying that, oh, I'm all this awesome and awesome and awesome, but I guess I am. You know why? Because He is in me. The Word says that the fullness of the Godhead dwells within us. And so that's what the world's on for. That's what these kids that were coming, all these kids that were coming, you know what they were dressed up like last night? Superheroes. They were. Princesses and superheroes. I mean, every once in a while you throw a little scary something in there, but at the end of the day, you know, all the skeletons, I'm just declaring Ezekiel 37 over them, all right? You know. But that's how they view themselves. Is I'm strong and I'm powerful. And you notice one thing. I'm not talking about a sense of entitlement in a negative way. I'm talking about a sense of expectation in a positive way. You know what they expected when they came through that trail? To get something good. I always like to trick them in our little booth. You know, they'll throw the little fishing thing over and out. Sometimes they'll get a sock and sometimes they'll get some old dirty underwear or, you know, stuff like that. But they come through expecting something good. Quit going through life expecting bad. Start going through life expecting good. Because we are in relationship with a good, good Father that loves us. And I even want us to get to the point where we're expecting even more. We have one little boy come through, and they slip around, and I ain't going to mention no names or anything like that, but, you know, his mom and dad might be sitting back over here, and he comes around behind to where I was, and he saw Lori's iPhone sitting there. And you know what he said? He thought it was part of, because it was laying down there with all the gag gifts and all that stuff, and everything. He said, can I have that phone? I said, no, man, sorry, Slate, but it's my wife's. But he said, if I can have this, maybe I can have more. If God can use me in this, maybe God can use me in more. If I can produce 30-fold, maybe 60. And if I can produce 60, maybe 100. He said He gives bread to the eater and seed to the sower. So let's begin to change our expectation level. Judah got any more football games this year? He does. Y'all won yesterday. You still got another one. You're in the semis. Okay. I guarantee you. Y'all know who Judah was last night? Bobby Boucher. He was. Nick said he watched the water boy all by himself the other day. So he's running around with number 9 last night. I guarantee you, without a doubt, because I know that bloodline. Next Saturday when they play, and he's on defense, and he probably plays linebacker, doesn't he? When he plays defense, in his mind, you know who he's going to be? Bobby Boucher. And the quarterback, and won't nobody be able to tell him any different, because in his mind, not only am I Bobby Boucher, but I have got a lethal weapon on my arm, because I'm still in the cast, and I'm going to wreak some havoc on the other team. And we laugh, and we say, that's cute, and all that stuff. Get that mind in you in life. And let that marry what Aaliyah was talking about. On our need to serve the world and our need to serve the community and our need to reach everything that is out there with heaven. But I can't do it when I'm beat down and discouraged and in despair and seeing myself as unfinished, undeveloped land. I think the tax, official tax thing they put on it is unimproved. Isn't that what they say, Randy? Unimproved. And if you're paying taxes on it, that's great because they don't charge you as much. And we want to go through life as unimproved land because not as much. Can I preach just a second? I ain't got to my text yet. But if we go through life and we want to wear the label of unimproved because not as much is expected out of us. If I can fly under the radar, not as much is required for unimproved, I'm still going to gain heaven. The only problem with that was when God looks at you, Graham, He does not look at you as unimproved. He looks at you with an expectancy of 30, 60, and 100-fold. So I want us to get like the young man that I'm not going to name his name that says, you know, can I have that iPhone too? Because it's there, why not? Why not? It's there, why not? Angels are on assignment. The Holy Spirit's been given us. He tells us that we're going to... Read Isaiah 61, somebody, and put that in your back pocket. Brother, next time you're in a deer stand, just take 5 minutes and flip out of that and read Isaiah 61. And don't let it apply to me. Don't let it apply to Jess. Don't let it apply to Eric. And say, God, these are your promises to me. And then you start building your life on that. It'll shift everything. It'll shift everything. I'm serious, guys. All right. So that covered Wednesday night. I didn't get into all that Wednesday night. We did not talk about Bobby Boucher or thinking you could get an iPhone. But this morning, I want to tag on top of that, and I want to just throw a word out to you that God spoke to me real strong last night. That just goes right along with this. And there's two places that really jumped out at me that I could go. And one is to Genesis 28 and talk about Jacob and his vision and his encounter with God at Bethel and when he saw the angels ascending and descending and open heavens. Basically, he saw open heavens. And it was God coming in and he was reconfirming the covenant to him and to his generations. And he was saying, I've got open heaven over you. And I'm in covenant with you. And basically he is saying, I'm pulling the lid off of your life and anything is possible and anything is probable if we'll just believe and walk in measures of faith. And he had this amazing encounter with God, and then we all know what happened in Acts 2 at the day of Pentecost and all of that. But I want to throw a word out there that God spoke to me, and that word is our uniqueness and our unique encounters with God create unique opportunities. Our uniqueness and our unique encounters with God create unique opportunities. Y'all know why we were able to do what we did last night? Because we got 30-something acres of land that we own in a nice stand of mature hardwoods. Most churches don't have that luxury. Now I come in here and this is not a fancy building. It's a metal building. It's 20-something years old. We hadn't done major improvements. It's nice. I don't have to be fancy. Because I can worship on a dirt floor in a third world country just like I can worship on carpet and AC and everything else. And engage just as God, just as powerful in both places. But we don't have, when you come in, you don't find a fancy coffee bar. And the mural on our nursery may be not as impressive as this, and our campus is not as facility and all of this stuff. But what we do have is that. And we've got 50, 60-year-old oak trees that we can walk under back there. There's a uniqueness to what we do have. There's a uniqueness to... We've got some different thinkers like Chris Bridges. We got some different thinkers, the creativity that Aaliyah was talking about. And so we've got a uniqueness in that. And so us having the uniqueness in that, you know what it does? It creates an opportunity for unique opportunities. Because we have that uniqueness, we can do something unique. Because you have uniqueness in your life, you can do something unique. Because you have unique encounters in your life, you can do something unique. And that's what I want us to understand. You look in Genesis 28 and what happened with Jacob. Jacob comes in and he is leaving. Esau is wanting to kill him. His mother and father are sending him to find a bride somewhere else. His future is uncertain. He's been a little bit shady in some things, but I like his heart in wanting more. Okay? He's got the birthright. He's got the blessing of his father. And then he's going out, and guess who meets him? God meets him. And he has an open heavens vision from Father God, and God begins to speak to him directly, and he has this amazing, unique encounter with God. And it changes his life forever. It marks him forever. And so he builds an altar there. He calls the place Bethel, House of God. It's a place that is so significant. He goes back to this place later on time and again. It's significant in us, in our lives. I mean, it's a landmark place in my life, in Scripture right here. I always can go back to Genesis 28 and say, I am the house of God. Because I have opened heavens over my life. And so he has this amazing, unique encounter. So it gives him and affords him the opportunity to do something unique in his life. Think about the unique encounters in your life. Let's get past your uniqueness for a second, because you are amazingly unique. Amazingly unique. You got an amazing testimony of just being here, Haven. We all know that. I mean, if you don't, it's amazing you just being here. And all the stuff that went along with that, you may have heard, but you don't even know all the background that went along with all of that. The spiritual warfare over your life. 18 ounces when she was born. 18 ounces. My, 18 ounces. 18 ounces. Couldn't even touch her skin because it was so fragile. That's right. Truth, isn't it, Robin? We all walked through that together, didn't we? That'll preach with along with what Leah was saying, wouldn't it? And yet she's here today. So we've got unique... It's in our life, but think about the unique encounters. Man, I could just sit and I could talk for hours and write volumes about unique encounters in my life. About God's providential hand and directing and Him marrying our yeses. We've had demonic manifestations in our house, in our bedroom. I mean, physically see demons in our bedroom. I mean, physically see. I've also had people get baptized in the Holy Ghost in the floor of my bedroom. And where you sit for a life group on the couch, I've led the people to the Lord right there kneeling on that couch. Led them to the Lord right there. And we've had encounter after encounter after encounter after encounter in this house that a lot of you guys were a part of, and outside this house that some of you guys were a part of. Baptized hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds. Sometimes in a single day. You make encounters. Marty, we helped baptize 800 people in Williams Creek one day down at the ramp. And as we were baptizing, we were standing out in the river. And as we were baptizing them, they were going out in the Holy Ghost. I would raise them up from the water and they'd be out in the Holy Ghost, and I'd just have to float them over to the bank and give them to an usher. That should mark us. The unique encounters create unique opportunities. They create a unique platform in our life. All this stuff that's happening with you guys in Honduras right now, and the ministry, you know, I think the word you said to me the other day as we were having lunch, it's almost like this is getting dumped in my lap. That's not a here, you take it. That's a promotion from God. That's unique encounter colliding with the unique individuals, creating unique opportunities. And you know what you're going to find? You guys are going to find amazing favor in that area, in that region, and in that nation. I believe that. I feel that in my spirit. That isn't just preacher talk. You know how God gave Heidi Baker Mozambique? That chick, Iris Ministries, if you're not real familiar with it, read up on it. She feeds 10,000 kids every day. Schools. Bases. And God's coming in and saying, here, I'll give you a nation. Don't ever come in and lowball the uniqueness of what He is doing in you guys and what He is doing in the ministry and the unique opportunities that He's going to come in and put on the table for you guys. Because this is the same thing. Peter comes in. Can I read a couple verses? If I don't, y'all feel like you haven't been to church. Preacher didn't even read no scripture today. What kind of church is that? I wanted to give y'all a word on wine a while ago, and I didn't. I don't know if I was disobedient or what. Heck, I'm going to go ahead anyway. I'm going to give it to you. It goes with what we're talking about. That song, New Wine, we're singing. In April, me and Lori are going down to Argentina, and we're gonna take about a 3-day detour, and we're gonna bounce over to a city and a region that's right at the foot of the Andes Mountains, and it's Mendoza. It's their wine growing region, and the thing about that region right there, and the thing about that wine in there, is because it's at the foot of, y'all have seen the foot of the Andes Mountains. I mean, they're pretty serious mountains. And the thing about that region right there is because it is a very harsh climate. The grapes in that region have to grow a lot thicker skin. But because those grapes grow a lot thicker skin, the tannins come from the skin and the grapes, and it has an influence on the wine. And because it has thicker skin and more tannins in it, then the wine is a more full-bodied, more complex wine. And a lot of y'all think that the harsh environment that you find yourself in, or the daunting obstacles or hurdles that are facing you in your life, is something that will disqualify you or cause you to fail or to come up short. But in reality, those are the things that are going to cause you to grow a thicker skin and make you more full-bodied, more complex. So don't resist it, embrace it, and even celebrate it. All right? We're like, oh God, this is hard. He said, no. We look at the world and we are so privileged that God has allowed us to live in this day, and it's not for the easiness, but I believe it's for the complexity of what's out there. Because there's a lot of junk out there, and there's a lot of huge spiritual warfare, and there's warfare over nations and warfare over regions. I believe that there's warfare going on right now for the soul of America. And for such a time as this, God chose us to live on this earth. For such a time as this. For such a time as this. Madeline Noah, for such a time as this. God raising you guys up as worship leaders. For such a time as this. For such a state of this world. And you say, man, it's hard. Get thicker skin. Quit getting your feelings hurt about stupid stuff. You know, hey man, you got a good high five on that, sister. We do. You get your feelings hurt about all these little stupid things. I'm like, grow up, get some thicker skin so that your life is more full-bodied and complex. Start thinking about the unique opportunities that are before you because of your uniqueness as an individual and your unique experiences. You have something to say now. Well, I was going to read some scripture, wasn't I? What time is it, somebody? Y'all don't... 12:10. Good. Y'all give me 10 minutes and then we'll close it up. I always lie when I say that. But it makes y'all feel better, doesn't it? It makes me feel better. That's all that matters, isn't it? Amen. Who said that? Cindy, golly, my office manager. Chapter 2, verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born? And then it lists all of these places that they came from. And it says that we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice. And then he began to speak. Peter had this amazing and unique encounter with the Holy Spirit. As promised by Jesus, he said, go tarry in Jerusalem and wait for the promise. The thing that he had been promising. You read Gospel of John chapter 14, 15, and 16. And he tells us all about the amazing promise of the Comforter. And he will lead us and guide us into all truth and all of this stuff. And then as he's about to send into heaven, he says, go wait. He didn't even put a time. He just said, go wait in Jerusalem. Tarry there. Don't leave until you get what I promised. And so they go and they hold themselves up in an upper room for 10 days, 120. And then Pentecost happens. And they all receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father. And they begin to speak in other tongues. People hear them in their own language. And you got all of these people rushing in. I believe it was quite a, not just a, whoa man, they having church down there. I believe there were supernatural things going on. As heaven was open, I believe there were supernatural things going on. And so everybody, all of these thousands of people come rushing in. And Peter says, I'm a unique cat. No doubt about that with Peter. I just had a unique experience. Right? So now I have a unique opportunity. I have got thousands of people coming to me saying, what in the world is going on? And so you know what Peter did? He began to testify as to what was happening. Then he began to preach the gospel of Jesus. The word says, without getting there, I believe in this, 3,000 were saved, later 4,000, but there were 3,000 people that were saved and baptized in that moment. And it was all because he embraced the uniqueness of him. He embraced the uniqueness of the encounter. And he embraced the uniqueness of the opportunity. And I want you to get that in your life. is that you're unique. You've got unique encounters, and you're going to have unique opportunities. And Brandon, when we begin to flow in that, we begin to embrace that, we begin to, you know, let that flow in and out of our life, man, that's how we're going to impact the world. That's going to work, how we're going to impact our kids. I mean, it starts with your kids. You want to save the world, but Lord, I want your household to get it first. You know? I want your household to get it first. I want your realm of influence here. I want it to spread out. You know, you're the epicenter of an earthquake. And that thing has potential to create tsunamis thousands of miles away. But it's got to be significant right there. And understand our unique. Don't you know how proud I am that boots and flannel shirts have come back in style? David, I'm like, finally, yeah! Because this is what I wore in 1978. For real. I had a lot more hair and all that, skinnier. This is what I wore in 1978. I'm finally get to be me again. I look at some of the old pictures when I first got called to preach and ordained in the ministry. And you know, I'm wearing a suit. Nothing wrong with wearing a suit, man. You know, I mean, Graham, you and Paul, y'all looked stellar the other day. You look good too, brother. But you're supposed to. You were the groom. You know, these guys look stellar. I was like, oh, look at that. But I see today you're wearing a flannel shirt, and I'm with you. Because that's really who you are. And so I just want us to, when we recognize that and celebrate that, you know what it does? That ushers in a place where we can live in a place of peace instead of a place of pretense. You know when our children are going to be flourishing? When we are living as who we were designed to live and designed to be. That's when our children are at most at ease. While these little grandchildren flock to her, not just our grandchildren, but I'll lay y'all's little kids on it, they flock to her. You know why? Because she is so cool just being Gigi. She's so cool just being Gigi. That's why all of them call her Gigi, and that's why all of them flock to her and all that stuff. And if we as a people will begin to recognize, to embrace, and to celebrate our uniqueness, it will cause us to live in a place of peace that will attract everybody around us. Don't try to be missionaries in Honduras. Just try to be you. You know how many missionaries come and go from those places and they hand out food and then they're gone? And they'll give them a tract and tell them about Jesus and then they're gone? And they're like, oh, thanks, I appreciate it. Meals on wheels, you know, and that's nice and it's good. I'm not knocking it. But God's designed us for more than that. And when you guys just flow in and it's just like, this is us, man, we're unique. And I'm not in a hurry because I'm not going anywhere. The people know that, they feel that, and they sense that. Because they don't look at you guys and come in and say, yeah, he's here for a week. Who's going to be here next year? They say, you don't have to be in a rush because you're not going anywhere. In this thing of life, I don't have to be in a rush because I'm not going anywhere. God's not in a rush, I promise. He is not in a rush, I promise. He is slow and He's patient. And He's kind. I almost say He's methodical. I mean, God's like super chill on this stuff, guys. And He wants us to get it and embrace it and celebrate it. Because then we'll recognize unique opportunities and we'll flourish in them. Man, let's just stand to our feet. I'll develop this some more Wednesday night. Hey, worship team, that was so awesome. Can y'all come up and jump on your instruments right quick? I don't think anybody would be mad about that. Today, I want to release you to be you. Brandon, we were in Italy last month, and we were in a little medieval town. It was a cool town, San Gimignano or something like that. All the buildings were from the 1200s, 1300s, and it was just you got all of these, it's on the UNESCO World Heritage site and all of that stuff. And we're walking in this town, and they've got all of these cool artisan shops, and I mean, you look, they got hams hanging from the, with ropes from the rafters and all this. I mean, just amazing stuff and all that. And we look over there, and I see a dude that's got a cowboy hat, blue jeans, a rodeo belt buckle, and a long sleeve shirt. I said, this cat's either from Montana or Texas. He wound up being from Texas. Cool guy. Played football for Gene Stallings at Texas A&M. But he was not there to say, hey, let me put on show. He was just being who he was. He was just a good old Texas cowboy that was digging Italy. We wound up eating lunch with him the next day. Heard story after story after story. Very, very interesting. It was cool, wasn't it, Randy? It was like, yeah, all right. Can't remember his name. He lives in West Texas. But I said, there is a guy that is unpretentious and is comfortable with who he is. That was him. And I noticed that. And I want you to be so comfortable in your skin and what God's doing in you and what He's done in you that you don't have to try to be everybody else, Michaela. Because God's digging you. I promise you, God's digging you. And He's got dreams, and He's got plans, and He's got visions for your life. And He already knows who your husband's going to be. He already knows what your children are going to look like and how many you're going to have. And He knows what ministry you're going to roll into. He's got all of this stuff that He already knows. And He's just waiting for you to jump into His world so you can live it out. So be cool with who Michaela is. Embrace it. Doggone, celebrate it. Celebrate it. Celebrate it. Because when you do, everybody around you exhales. It sets them at ease. It releases peace. It releases peace. It releases peace. And people at school notice it. They may think you're weird, but they'll be like, man, that... But you know what it does? It's deep calling out to deep, and it will attract them. It will attract them. And when their life gets jacked up and they get in these weird places and all this stuff, you know who they're going to look to? You. So I don't know what you're struggling with today, but let it go. I don't know what's got you in shackles or bondage, but I release you from that today. The uniqueness of you. The uniqueness of you. Father God, we just come to you and we thank you for this morning. We thank you for the worship. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity to engage each other and engage you. Lord, I pray you just stir and just move in our midst right now, Father. If people need to make decisions, let them make decisions. If they need to come before you in the altar or where they stand, God. But I pray that we would just move. We'd move in our hearts and we'd move in our mind. Holy Spirit, we give you full reign and full liberty in our lives. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen. Amen. If you need to come to the altar.